All right, everyone, I've just hit the record button, so welcome to the regular Mastermind group teleconference question and answer session with myself, Yarrow Starek, and my good friend Gideon Shawick. Hi, Gideon.
Hi, Yarrow. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Now, since this is a first call for some of our new students, we've had a large group join in the previous week, so I expect there are a few new people. I'm going to go through some of the introductory materials carefully. Firstly, this is being recorded now, so if you don't want your voice to be on the recording, please, when you ask a question, if you decide to ask a question, use a fake name. But if you're comfortable with it, you're most welcome to use your real name. And as far as I'm concerned, I think everyone has used their real name so far on these calls, but I wouldn't know. But these calls are being recorded and distributed to other people, so just be aware of that before you speak up. Okay, so how the system works is it's under a hand-raising lecture mode system. So what happens is we have a control panel, which Gideon and I can access, and we can actually see everyone who's live on the call, whether you've called in through Skype or a normal phone. Now, when you want to ask a question, you have to press *9. So you can press *9 on your telephone dial pad or on your Skype number pad. On Skype, you may have to activate the number pad. Just look for the active call window and see if you can find the number pad there. And if you press *9, your hand will be raised on our control panel, and I can see someone's already done that, so we'll get to that question in a moment. And what we then do is Gideon and I will click, or one of us will click the little hand icon next to your name, and a message will be broadcast just to you, telling you that you're now the live caller. And just say hello, ask your question, and we'll interact, and it'll just be you, myself, and Gideon live on the call with everyone else listening. Normally, we have a chat room running, and it does look like it's running, but it's either very, very slow, I'm not sure. But anyway, you can give it a shot. It's at entrepreneurs-journey.com/teleconferences. And normally, if that's working, we do ask if you have any problems with the live call that you mentioned it there, if you're having problems raising your hand or something like that, just type in that chat room. But we'll keep an eye on it because the chat room does seem to be running extremely slow today. So it could be a problem with the Yaplet server. Okay, with that out of the way, if you want to ask a question, just press *9 on your dial pad and we'll start going through everyone. And that's it. Ready to go, Gideon?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's rock and roll.
Hello, Gideon.
Hi.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Who am I speaking to?
This is Jeff from Missouri.
Welcome to the call, Jeff.
Well, thank you. My question is, I read something today, the fact that they say if too many you have too many plugins, it'll slow down your blog. And I would like to know how many is too many.
Good question. I haven't heard of this before myself. I guess there may be some limits, and it depends on the different scripts that I use for each individual plugin that could potentially slow down your website and how fast it loads. I don't have a guideline for how many that would be, but what I can say, I suppose, is that the plugins that we do recommend inside Become a Blogger Premium are, I guess, at a bare minimum that we do recommend. That doesn't mean you can't install other plugins, but perhaps be sensible with how you go about it, and so you don't install every little plugin that comes your way. Ultimately, it comes down to what you do with your blog in terms of content and the marketing side of it that's going to help you with the success of your blog. And plugins are really just there as an enhancement for what you're already doing. So just keep that in mind as a guideline. But I don't have a specific number in mind. I'm not sure if Yaro's aware of specific number in particular, but I think it depends more on the individual plugins that could be causing some problems for your blog as well.
And the server.
Okay. Well, okay, thank you. I also found a plugin that will automatically upgrade your old blogs to the new 2.7. And I tried it on one of my blogs, and it works great. It's very simple and easy to use.
Okay. I'm very aware of that particular plugin. We haven't shown people how to use that yet. And the main reason for that or one of the main reasons at least, is that most of our videos at the moment are for version 2.6.3. And I'm not sure if you've noticed that already, Jeff, but the back end of WordPress looks a little bit different for WordPress 2.7. Instead of having a horizontal menu structure, you've got a vertical menu structure. And so it's not all that different. If you've got a little bit of common sense, you can figure it out. But we are in the process of working with the plugin developer, and that particular plugin, to create a version for us that allows people to upgrade to a certain version. So once that's complete, we'll be telling the rest of the members how to upgrade properly as well.
Well, I just tried it on one of my blogs that I used for a test, and it worked quite well. So just
excellent.
Thought maybe you'd like to know about it. Thanks for your answers.
No worries. Thanks, Jeff. And just for everyone else listening out there, if you're new to become a blogger, or you've just entered into the course, we still do recommend version 2.6.3 because that's what most of our videos are based on. And then later on in the course, we'll show you how to upgrade to any later and safe versions when it's ready. Okay.
Thank you, Jeff. And just so people wonder, I'm actually running 2.3.3, which is embarrassing to even mention. My blog is very, very out of date. It's currently being upgraded for a redesign, and then we'll be improving the WordPress for the latest version. But it does go to show that the version of WordPress you run does not have an impact on the success of your blog, or if it does, it's extremely minor. So I've been able to run for several years now, don't tell any hackers this, but on a very old version of WordPress. So I just want to mention too, for people on the call, people on this call will be either from Become a Blogger Premium, from Blog Mastermind, or beta trial people on Membership Site Mastermind. So you shouldn't feel that any questions are too hard or too easy, and you don't have to talk just about blogging. We welcome internet marketing questions, membership site questions, video and multimedia questions. So Gideon and I can help in a range of subjects as well as blogging. So I'll move on to the next question.
Guys, it's Mitch.
Hey, Mitch.
I got two questions. The first one is on advertising. How do I approach these guys and who do I call? I'm expecting, like on my new blog, the college basketball place, I'm going to probably have a million hits this month and next month. So my blog is only a week old, so I don't have a page rank or anything. But I think like if I got like a click-through rate with these guys, that I could probably make some money. But I don't even, it's like, I know that you guys say contact them and all that stuff in the lessons, but who exactly do I call? Is there like a department?
Sound like saying Ghostbusters here. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Al Borz's call a little while ago, but since you're reaching the point, Mitch, where you've got millions of visitors, you reached a threshold where advertising media agencies would actually take an interest in you. Now, I don't know which agencies cover the markets you cover with your blog. It's worth going to the similar sites like yours and figuring out what agencies they use. They're usually significant companies. I know of one that may possibly be interested in your traffic, which is called Federated Media, which does a whole range of top blogs. They focus on blogs in all kinds of niches. And what they do is they act as the middleman. What they do is they organize advertisers who buy packages from Federated Media, and then they can cycle that across their network of sites. So the good thing about that is you often get a better, higher payout rate because companies paying for large media buys like that spend more money. So you get the benefit of being part of a network. If you don't, and just to note, with Al Borz and his car advice blog, we're talking buyouts of $8,000 for one spot for 3 months. I think he just had two of those sold in the last week. I've been in contact with him. And all that happens is his media agent calls up and says, hey, we've got a buyer who wants to buy this on your blog, $8,000 for 3 weeks, for 3 months, for the 100 banner spot down the right sidebar. And he says, sure, put them on, off it goes. That can happen. It can be completely automated, but the important thing is to go find the agencies. Now, as I said, I don't know where they are because I don't know the agencies for industry, but if you find the other sites, you should get an idea and even email them. You know, hi guys, I got a site similar to yours looking to get in touch with the people who coordinate your advertising. You know, it doesn't hurt to try on a smaller scale.
Sounds easy enough.
Yeah, and on a smaller scale, which is, I guess, where I've done it in the past for my advertising campaigns, it's two things, and you know this from the blog mastermind lesson. Make sure you have an advertise page that, you know, gets advertisers coming to you, because I haven't had to proactively seek advertisers in a long time. They just come and buy ads on my site.
I have it, but my blog is only a week old.
Right, so...
But it's like, but I'm already, I got 9 of the top 10 slots on page 1 of Google, you know, already.
Right, so it's okay, like, well... I'm assuming this is not the million hits website.
I don't have a page rank, but I got a lot of content, and I have, you know, I don't have a toolbar page rank, but I mean, I don't think that's really that relevant.
No, it doesn't. That's not the same site that you've got with millions of visitors, though, is it, Mitch?
No, the new one.
So how have you got millions of visitors to a week old site?
College basketball. I got 8 writers. I'm doing 30 something articles a day.
Oh, okay. So you just pump out a ton of content.
There's 150 college basketball games on a given Saturday. I got them all covered, individual articles.
Right.
So it's like, you know, loads of content. So it's like, you know, anybody Googling any college basketball game, I come up on number one on Google.
Okay. I would recommend you do some searches in Google, as you're already doing, to find that out and see who's advertising. What companies there are spending money on advertising, and go that way to find, you know, who they are. It can be difficult. You know, you have to find the media contact or the advertising contact at that company, and they may not return your email. Simple as that. You may have to phone them up. You may have to fax them. What's important is you can, you know, pull up some great Google Analytics stats and show them how significant your site is, and then, you know, tell them you're willing to put them on a trial to see if their campaign works on your site. And just keep doing it. Hit as many different types of sponsors as you can find through Google on other basketball websites, just using your own, you know, knowledge of your industry, what companies would want to potentially advertise on your site.
Okay. It sounds promising. And then I had another question too.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is in regards to, I guess it's a new technology question that I know is not covered in the course. So if it's not, you know, if it's outside the realm, then I will, you know, I'll seek outside and maybe I'll be able to come up with an answer for everybody else. I want to develop an app for the iPhone. And my tech guy says he can do it. He says very easy, actually. But I want it to be a subscription basis, but Apple doesn't allow that platform right now for a subscription. It's basically either a free app or a one-time purchase app. And what I want to do is I want to offer like my pick of the day over the app. And, you know, to have it as a monthly subscription and just offer one pick a day and have it like, you know, something reasonable like $6.99, you know, for the app, a monthly app fee. But because they don't offer that platform, do I hold out and wait till Apple offers that platform, or do I go with a free app and try and get advertising? And then is that the same route to get advertising as you would for a blog, or is this something totally unrelated and not what you guys do?
No, I like that. Like you're thinking there, Mitch. That's really good. The way I, well, just as
you
were saying.
You've got to be ahead of them. You've got to be ahead. No, you can't, you know, it's like we don't want to follow. It's like we have a chance to be ahead in this one, I think.
Yeah, no, iPhone's a great platform at the moment. Just the idea I had while you were talking, I would either make it a very low-cost app or a free one and just give one pick a day, and then as an upgrade, which you'd have to direct people to a website. You know, I wouldn't see this as something that they could run on the iPhone until Apple does have a subscription model, unless of course they're, you know, going to use their browser on the iPhone, and then direct them to a subscription service. So, you know, here's the one free pick a day. If you want my top 10 picks every day, it's $5.95. Go to this website address, sign up, and I'll email to you once a day, whatever, something like that. And, you know, even if you don't sell any, as long as that app's out there and you're building up an audience, when something subscription-based is available, you just have to tell them and you can, you know, direct send that traffic. It's like building a list, basically.
So using the app as my advertisement as opposed to using the app to secure advertising dollars, so people advertising
Correct.
On my app. All right. That's actually a different route than I was thinking of going, but I think that works. That sounds pretty good. I like the whole idea, because I think most of the apps that are out there, I mean, me and my tech guy argue about this. I say 95% of them are crap, but he says 60% are crap.
Oh, okay.
But I think that we can come up with something very good there.
All right. Sounds good, Mitch.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to the next question.
Oh, hi, it's Darla from Canada. Good morning to Australians and good evening to North Americans, I guess. My question's about moving from Blogger. I had a blog that called Hat Nostalgia that I moved to a blog called Many Hattie Returns. And I made the decision not to transfer the posts over. I just started posting on the new blog. Now, I do have another one, in fact, my main blog, which is to do with supporting my consulting business, and it's to do with international financial reporting standards, and I've been going quite some time on that with Blogger, and I've just built this shell. It's a site called ifrsnewsandviews.com, and I'm kind of struggling whether to just do what I did with the other site, just start posting on the new site, just build up the number of posts on the new site, and just link back to the old site whenever possible, or move over. I'm really concerned about the Google penalty for duplicate content, and I see a number of stuff in the on the forum saying, well, just move over by hand and then put a link back to your new blog in the old blog. So I just wondered what your thoughts are on that, whether just stay, just the heck with it, just start posting new and not bring over the posts, or what would you do?
Good question. I'll have a go, and I think Yara will probably be able to give some good advice there too. Yes, if you're going to be doubling up on your content, there will be some penalties, and it also depends on how much actual content you already have on your Blogger website.
It's a lot, Gideon. Since May.
So it's probably not a good strategy to try and duplicate that content over onto the WordPress blog, because then you will get that penalty from Google. So I'm not quite sure what the best route would be, but so you're already getting quite a bit of traffic to the financial reporting website?
The other blog is very well known. I've got a lot of links into from the AICPA, which is the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. A whole bunch of people are linking to me, and it's sort of well known. And so I've been blogging on that particular blog since this is not the So Firm blog. This is not the Hat blog. This is the consulting blog. So I've got some interest in it. It's a quite high interest. And there's some content, there's some like what Yarrow would call pillar articles on it, and then there's some news articles. It's kind of a mixture of posts on it. Some are extensive, and they're like, and then others are not so extensive. So
okay.
I have a mind just to say, let's just start from scratch, just link back when I have to, keep the old blog where it is, and in six months I'll have a critical mass, you know. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. Well, what I've seen some people do is they stop posting to the Blogger websites and simply have a very prominent link on there that links to the to the new WordPress website, and that way you channel that traffic back to your new website. So that's one way of doing it.
Yeah, I've already done that. Gideon already did that link in.
Okay.
Saying, you know, here's the warning and so on, and I'm going to start on the new site very soon.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if I can give any better advice than that. Yara, would you do anything different to that?
Not really. When I I did a switch for a blog I used to own called Small Business Branding, and that was hosted on Typepad, and I wanted to move it to WordPress. What I did was, let me think about this. We moved the site and duplicated it. So essentially it was a duplication of what was on the Typepad site. And then I made a post to the Typepad blog saying that the site is no longer updated. It's now at smallbusinessbranding.com. And what happened is, and I wasn't monitoring this closely, but my assumption is initially both sites would have, maybe suffered a little bit in the search results because one site stopped being updated and another one essentially only had duplicated content until I started adding new articles. So what then happened, and this is how I would logically think Google would treat the site, it would look at the site that's now getting the fresh content, start to realize that that one's now the authority site, that's where the traffic, the content's coming from. And if you demonstrate to Google over time by posting repeated new content, it will figure out that that site is where you moved it to. It will give that site better rankings. And, you know, in a space of 6 months, the smallbusinessbranding.com site was well and truly outranking the old Typepad version of it, despite the fact that they had the same archives to a certain point. And obviously from that point forward, only smallbusinessbranding.com got the new content. Now, I think that's fine to do that. You know, I wasn't in a stage where I was going to break down and cry if I suddenly saw the traffic dip a little bit, because I knew if I continued to produce content, it would continue to grow. There was RSS subscribers. There was people who bookmarked the site. So the traffic wouldn't disappear completely. It wasn't dependent only on Google. So you need to ask yourself, you know, are you prepared to take a hit short term and just, you know, take that on board and then just write to this new site and let the duplicate content sit there for a while? Or, like you said, to start a new site from scratch without duplicating the content. I would do it the other way, but it really is up to you.
Well, I thought I would just start with the new content. And every time I hit similar content from previous posts, I would sort of like repurpose some of the content from the old post and make it a new content and then do it that way. So in 6 months, I'll have the same number of posts as I have now on the old blog. And then I can bring over some of the material maybe in a 3-4 months time, just do it on a selected basis. I think that's what I might try doing. I don't know if that's a good strategy.
Well, that's fine if you're prepared to put the work in. Yeah. It's just a bit of a, you know, it's a big job, obviously.
Yeah, I do put a lot of work in this one. I do daily posts on it. So and it's quite well followed, and it's so I have to put in the, I haven't lately because I've been moving it over, but when I start doing it, it will be pretty full of content. So it's not, I think I'll do it that way rather, because I did it with the hat blog. I had the Hat Nostalgia, which was a really new blog, so I didn't have too much on it. So I made the decision there I would just start anew, and actually the scope of the new blog is broader than the scope of the old blog, so it's a totally new blog. This one is the same blog, you know, in a different site, so it is different. So, so I think I'll do it that way. I'll start Greenfields, and I'll just do it like it was a brand new blog, and then keep the links open to the, because if you do, the other problem is you don't want to lose the links that Google has already given you, because that's difficult too. So it's problematic because I see different things. You see, I see penalties for Google, and some people say there's no penalties, and so it's quite confusing. So I'd rather not take the risk.
Yeah, it sounds like there's no real easy answer for this one, Darla.
Yeah, I didn't think there was. That's why I asked you the question, Gideon.
as long as you're moving forward, Darla, which it sounds like you are, I wouldn't stress about it too much.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
For everyone else, I've had a look at your website, Darla, and I must say I really like it. It's quite a cool concept. The mini Hattie Returns one.
Mini Hattie Returns, yeah.
Yeah, so you want to check it out, manyhattyreturns.com.
Yeah, for everybody's benefit, this is a site on hats, and I'm very keen on it. It's more of a hobby site than it's become a business, but it's a hobby site. It's my mother was in the hat business, and I'm encouraging hat wearing to come back into style. Too few people are wearing hats, and it looks like younger, like people in their 20s now are interested in wearing hats. So it's quite a concept, and I think it. I'm very enthusiastic about it.
Yeah,
I'm more enthusiastic about that than the International Financial Reporting Standards, but I have to remember where my profession is.
Okay.
So thanks again, and good luck. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Bill, and keep up the good work yourself, bye. Too.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Okay, next.
Hello, hi, my name is Ray, and I'm in Brooklyn, New York. I'm really glad and honored to be speaking with you guys tonight. Really, really look up to you, both of you, because you're doing a great job. And also, I've been attending, I think, 4 of these teleconferences so far, but I've been really, really nervous to speak. And I'm not someone who ever gets nervous to speak. But I feel really...
Well, so far.
I feel really nervous because I'm intimidated. Everybody who calls in, they have their blogs running, and, you know, this other guy said he's getting millions of visits a day. Oh, my gosh. I write for, and that's great, but, oh, my gosh, you know, it's really scary. It's a really big deal, having a blog. I don't personally have one, but I do write for one. It's not my blog, but I recently got administrator status, and seeing what a huge responsibility it is, getting a lot of fears about starting my own blog. And since I signed up for the program, I haven't even watched one video just because I'm nervous. What kind of advice do you have for somebody like me who sees it as so much work, just writing for a blog and posting something every day? Although I have tons of content, tons of ideas, it's a local community website. I'm almost embarrassed to say how few visitors we have every day, and a lot of that are those robots or whatever you call them, bots or whatever. Mm. Like maybe on a good day we get 1,400 visits. Is that really terrible?
It sounds so bad if it's a new blog.
Well, no, it's been running since last May.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of factors that's involved in helping you increase the traffic, and you know that's why we have the course. Later on in the course, we do cover that, how to get more traffic to your blog. But it was Ray, wasn't it?
Yes.
Ray, I think the best way forward for you is to take things just step by step. Inside our premium members area on the first page when you log in, there are listed 7 steps that you need to take on your road to become a blogger or a successful blogger. And so those steps are really designed for beginners, people like you who are just getting into it. And it's designed to be simple and easy to follow. So the first step is to read the roadmap report. So if you've done that already, well done. That'll give you a nice overview of the whole blogging thing and what you can achieve with blogging. Then the second step is to actually start then creating your own blog. And that's where you can follow those 10 videos on becomeablogger.com. And they really just take you step by step. They hold you by the hand. They show you exactly how to install your first blog and how to get it running. So once you've got that, that'll give you a lot of confidence to follow on through the rest of the course. That's actually the hardest part, is just to install the blog. And even if you get stuck on that, we have people inside our forum area that can help you with that as well. So that's my recommendation. Just log into the premium area and go through those simple steps that we have listed there, and that should get you started. So just take it step by step. Don't feel rushed. Just follow it at your own pace. And just take it as it comes. And if you've got a question, send us an email, or if it's a technical question, ask that question inside the forum area. And there's normally someone there that can respond to you very quickly.
Okay, I really appreciate the encouragement, and I will start to do that now. There are a few people who are really encouraging me to start my own blog, and so I'm very excited about doing it. Just that like I told you. Now, on a more like technical side, since I do write for this other blog, but it's not monetized, although I did ask the administrator, the editor, to add a contributor, what do you call it, donate now kind of button, whatever, which he did. And I don't know if it's generated any donations or anything yet. But in the meantime, I put a lot of links in the articles that I write. And I'm wondering, just for my own knowledge, please excuse me if I'm just so dumb that I'm asking you such a silly question, but when you put links in for other people's articles or, you know, products or companies, banks, whatever I write about, can those ever generate any income or, I don't know, something like that? Do you ever get credit for the links that you add into your articles?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say that there are no silly questions, Ray. So any question is a great question. And so please ask if there's anything that's not clear at all. But to answer your question, yes, you can make money from links. It depends what kind of link you use inside your blog. One of Yaro's main, well, one of his major strategies that he uses for making money on his blog is he sometimes would write a review for a particular product, and there would be an affiliate link that Yaro has for himself. And then he lists that affiliate link when he does the review. So when people click on that affiliate link, he'll get a portion of the money that results from a sale. So there's definitely a lot of scope to be able to make money from those kind of links to your blog. Now, I'm assuming you're talking about links inside posts. Is that correct? Or are you talking more about links?
I write a lot of articles about the local community and things that are going on around here, businesses and so on, and just... Like I said, our site is not monetized. There's no advertisers, nothing on it. It's a very new, young blog. And the person's not, he's not in the country right now, so I'm taking care of almost everything as far as posts. So, I just write whatever it is, and I link a lot to other articles and companies. And, I don't know anything about affiliated marketing and I links and how does that work? Do you tell the person that you're linking to them and then they kick back or what? I have no clue. I'm really sorry.
No, that's no problem. We will probably cover that in some detail a bit later on. But just to cover that briefly, with affiliate links, there's normally there'll be a product that's got an affiliate program. And this product will be in line with the theme of your blog. Quite often, that's a good idea to do something like to have the theme of the product match the theme of your blog. And so you'd be able to sign up for an affiliate program with that product provider, and they will provide you with the appropriate links that you can use.
So we have to contact each and every company every time we make a link. I mean, If I go out there and I find some news going on in the street, it has to do with the local bank, let's say, and I write up something about the bank and then it links to another thing and then suddenly I have like 10 links that I have to contact all of those companies and say, can I get an affiliate link?
No, you don't have to. It depends on who you're linking to, right? If you're just linking to anybody and they don't necessarily have an affiliate program, then it's probably you're not going to make money from that particular link, and you may use something like that as a relationship building tool, and you could contact those people and say, look, I've linked to your website from my blog, and that's a nice way to build a relationship with someone. The ways that you can make from those kind of links, with affiliate links in particular, is if you're actually promoting those particular products as part of your post, or if you have a review and people will click on the link and it takes them to a sales page, for example, that then sells that product from the affiliate program that you signed up for. So it depends who you're linking to. And so I would say that if you're just linking to anybody, you can see that it's a nice relationship building tool. There may be some cases where you can link to someone and you can approach them and say, look, I'm linking to your lots. Would you be interested in paying a royalty for that, because I'm giving you a lot of traffic? And so, but that'll have to be on a case-by-case basis.
Huh. Wow. See, that's what I mean. It's a lot of work. I'm just like sort of linking to whatever, all kinds of businesses, all kinds of products or whatever. Not all of it. Some of it is just my opinion. Some of it may be critical. But over here, I don't know if you use the same adage over there in Australia, but here we say any publicity is, even bad publicity is good publicity. Something, I don't know that.
Yeah, we've got that one too over here.
Even if I'm criticizing their product and I'm linking to their company, people are getting to hear about them, so you would think that they would welcome it.
Right.
I mean, I may not necessarily be criticizing them. I just may be giving some general info, you know. So
right. This is Yarrow here. I just wanted to give you a suggestion. What Gideon's just described. Let me start again. With affiliate marketing, the best way to get a feel for how that works is to start with a really simple program. I recommend you go to Amazon.com and look up their associates. It's called the Amazon Associates Program.
Okay.
Now, with that, what you can do is you can get a special link once you've joined their associates affiliate program. You can get a link for any product they have inside their online store. So if you're ever talking about, let's say, a book in a blog post, and you actually want to link to the Amazon sales page for that book, you can get an affiliate link then from the Amazon Associates program. And if someone reads your article, clicks that affiliate link to get more information about that book, buys the book from Amazon.com, you'll then get a small commission. Not much with Amazon, but you'll get a feel for how affiliate marketing works.
Oh, okay.
What you want to be careful of, though, is the person who owns your blog. So you don't own your blog, which is always a bit of a challenge. You need to make sure they're okay with you doing that, because, usually the owner doesn't want people to be making money from their website unless that's part of the agreement. So that's, of course, why we recommend to everyone that they own their own blog and they write to their own blog, because it's up to you how you make money. You have complete control.
Okay.
But for the sake of experience, go to Amazon's associate program. I mean, this is for anyone listening to this call now. If you've never done an affiliate promotion, there is a product somewhere within Amazon.com that matches pretty much every single blog theme I know of, because Amazon's very comprehensive in terms of their categories. So as an experience, you can go there, find a book you love, find a product you love, find some music you love, something related to your blog, write a review about it or just mention it and send some traffic using an affiliate link. And you might make one sale, which will generate $3 in commission, but you can't retire on that money, but at least you know how it works.
I can retire on the money. I've been living on no money for years. So I know but the thing about that is, wouldn't that be like extremely time-consuming as far as getting your content out? If I have an article to write, it's some news or some happening that's going on right away, I want to cover it, want to get it done, and then I have to stop and look for something pops into my head, and I got to stop and see, is it an affiliate, marketing thing I can attach? Basically, I'm trying to get to the point, is it very time-consuming?
Well, it doesn't have to be. The way I do affiliate marketing is it's very strategic. So some posts are not news posts, they're product reviews. That's obviously a very strategic type of content where it's designed to review a product but also sell as an affiliate of that product. And that's not news, though. That's quite different. On the other hand, though, if you are finding yourself writing about a common topic, let's say, the Da Vinci Code was something that was newsworthy for a long time. The book came out, it was a number one bestseller, then the movie came out. If you kept writing news about that on a regular basis, you would have linked to the book at Amazon.com, and you could have continued to use that same link over and over again each time you talked about anything related to that topic. And, the combined mass there of posts, even if they are news posts, that all link through to the same book could eventually result in some sales. And it doesn't necessarily slow you down. You only have to do it once and then copy and paste that link in the future posts. So I do that with some of the more common products I recommend. For example, AWeber, it's an email autoresponder. I recommend that to people anytime I mention email marketing. And I'll just use my link over and over again and make a few sales every month. So it's not time consuming and it's, very effective.
I'm sorry, you said AWeber? I just wanted to catch that.
Yes, AWeber, it's an email marketing autoresponder. Probably not something you're necessarily needing right now,
okay.
Ray, because, you build your blog first. But
Okay.
It's just something that we send you emails. We use Aweber to send you those emails.
I see. Okay. I hope you don't mind, but I noticed I've been waiting a long time to call. So I have 1,000 questions, but I'm only going to ask you a few right now, if that will be okay. I know a lot of other people
okay.
are asking you questions.
Yeah, right? I've got 5 more hands out, Ray. So if we could just wish through them so we don't miss anyone else, that would be great.
Okay, I appreciate that. So today I noticed in one of our local newspapers that they had pictures there linked to an article, something that was going on in my neighborhood. And the picture was linked to a pay service. So you would go into a shopping cart, and I couldn't download the picture or anything or save it or whatever and even give it credit because I didn't want to pay $25 for that one picture. So I'm wondering, if once I start my blog, would that be something that I could do? Link to a picture that $25 seems like a lot of money for a photo, but, you know, I guess I could set my price. But is that something you've seen before?
That's very likely the Associated Press, which just means that they have official press photographers taking those photographs, and you can't just use them without buying rights. A lot of the content in terms of images on the internet are copyrighted, which means you can't use them. As a strategy for making money, I don't think you'd go very well charging for your images on your blog. Because there's just so many ways to get free images, Flickr, that sort of thing. You could try it, but it doesn't really, like, that's not the way a blog makes money unless the blog is a blog about photography. You know, there's not a logical connection there. People don't come to your site to buy photographs. They come there to read news about something. So, I wouldn't suggest that as the best monetization strategy.
Okay, but it can be done. I mean, eventually, like if that's something that
sure.
not that I'm such a great photographer or anything, but a lot of the leads that I'm seeing coming in do say that people are coming in, like a huge percentage of visitors are coming in through Google image search. I'm not
right.
really sure why that is. I guess people are just interested in seeing images from our area. And this is my last question, and I just wanted to get some advice about organization. You guys must be super organized, and I wanted to get some idea about that. That's one of the things that's holding me back also. And I'm done after. You can even answer. I could hang up, and you could just answer.
Gideon, you're good on the old getting things done. What's your technique?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you mentioned that, Yara, getting things done there, or get things done. There's a book that's actually called that, Get Things Done. I've just forgotten the author's name, James Allen. I've forgotten his name, but if you do a search for Get Things Done, it'll bring up a book that tells you, the book tells you exactly how to organize your life and how to be organized. It's probably one of the best ones out there, and it gives you some really, really good tips for managing your time and making sure you get things done, which is what it's all about. It's about action. So that's I guess if I could.
David Allen, and it is actually getting things done.
Getting things done. All right.
Yeah.
Getting things done.
I
David
have
Allen.
That book somewhere under a pile.
Okay. Well,
he's the leader in productivity. That's for sure.
Okay. But
so I'm actually using.
Kind of leading towards more practical advice as far as what kind of tools you use to organize your directory, your listings of emails, the addresses, and just I'm
okay.
all over the place and that kind of thing. And I have content done in Notepad, and I've got ideas for stories done in everywhere, all over the place, and sort of that. That kind of
cool.
A sort of more than
well, this. There are a few main tools that I use every day that helps my productivity a lot. One is for my mail client, I use Gmail. To me, that's the best possible mail program out there ever. So it really helps me a lot. It's got so many really nice features that just helps me to speed things up, like the canned responses function, for example. If I have the same response to a number of different people, I just use that feature. I use the calendar of Google as well, and sometimes I use Google Documents. So I'm a bit of a fan of Google products, but that's one of the main things that I use for that helps me along in productivity. I also have a to-do list. Actually, Google's just brought out the little to-do list thingy with that comes with the Gmail program. I've used that a little bit. It's okay. But I sometimes really love doing it on paper. I just have my own to-do list on paper, so I can scratch things off and throw it in the bin once I'm done. I seem to get satisfaction out of doing something like that. That's really the main things that I use for to help me stay focused. And you know, I really just stay focused on one task at a time until I've finished it. You know, and I really try and not do multitasking at all. I think multitasking is a real evil thing for getting things done. So if you can focus on one thing at a time, get it done, and then move on to the next thing, that'll help you a lot.
Thank you very, very much.
All right. Thanks, Ray. Thanks for all your questions.
Okay. I'll talk to you next.
Okay.
Whoops. I really cut off there. Okay, I've got 8 people with hands up. We're just going to go through these questions. I promise we'll get to everyone. Hello, caller. You're live. Hello, caller. You are live. Must have moved away from the computer. We'll move on to the next one.
Gideon Yarrow, this is Rick
yes.
Wiley, South Padre Island, Texas. How are you?
Hi.
Thank you.
Good, thanks.
Yarrow, this question is probably for you. Now, actually, I just joined the Become a Blogger Premium this week. I'm pretty new at this. Now, you had a very interesting interview with Adam Short the last couple of days, and that's kind of something got my interest that could go simultaneously along with your program, and I'm very interested in that. My question is this. Because you did actually ask him on this, I think it was the second part, how would you incorporate this with using blogs on his theory on the niche websites? Is that question making sense?
Yes, definitely. I would do everything he talks about except for the part where he says, I build my websites with FrontPage. I would build my website with WordPress. And essentially
that was really my question there, is because
yes.
He had mentioned something very briefly about in his program that they show you how to set up a blog. Well, where I'm interested why I got into y'all's program was with all the different features I could learn how to incorporate this into the blog. So that's really my question, because like I said, I really haven't got a niche nailed down, and that's where why I had a real interest in his, because I'm very familiar with residual backgrounds. And that's really what he was emphasizing on that, and that's where it's got my interest. So that's really my question there, because it's
okay.
And he did kind of even hint on that. I guess really is my question there. As far as the natural search engines, do you think the blogs will be better than static websites?
I wouldn't say better. This is a funny thing with blogging. They generally do perform better simply because people will link to each other using blogs. It's part of what blogging is about, where, you know, front page static websites don't necessarily link out that much. But, you know, if you listen to Adam and that call, he doesn't talk about doing much for traffic building beyond some article marketing. So because that's the only method that he meant, well, maybe some other ones, but because that's the main one he talks about, it really doesn't matter whether it's WordPress or front page or just a plain, you know, HTML website, because the way you go about building links won't, you know, you won't get any benefit because you're on WordPress versus having a front page site. That being said, and this is why we blog, I think blogs are so much easier to set up than, you know, a website from scratch using front page, because WordPress has already, you know, got some great structural elements, categories, tagging. It's got plugins like the SEO title tag, all these things we cover in Become a Blogger that will just make the site rank well. That much better, that much quicker, without you having to do it all manually. So, like you said, the best takeaway from Adam and his system is the way they can find profitable niches. And if you don't know what your topic is and you don't want to become an expert and become an authority in one area, but you don't mind the idea, sorry?
Which I don't. That's why I had a strong interest in his, because it's kind of like, use this example here, that Beta Fish Center that he was talking about. I mean, I guess, can you visualize having that type of a website like the Beta Fish Center, having it on a WordPress blog?
Oh, for sure. Lots of people do that. Rob Benwell, that's his system, exactly that. He creates blogs with WordPress, finds the niches, fills it up with paid content, you know, hopes to get a few hundred visitors a day, maybe up to 500 visitors a day from Google over time, and then just lets it sit there and does it again with the next niche and the next niche. I personally find that terribly boring. I much prefer to focus on one area, which I love. But listen, if you don't know what that is yet, then and you need some money, then this is by far, you could do it with WordPress. I would do it with WordPress if it was me.
Okay. Well, that's really the whole reason why I wanted to do the blogging, because I don't want to get into all the technical. In other words, I'm not the technical type person. I'm more of a marketing background, but that's why I was saying it's that's why I had my interest on the becoming a blogger premium. And then when I saw or basically listened to that interview, I mean, he's got a very how do we say this? I guess you could say he's got a very refined system, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, those guys are professionals, that's for sure.
Okay, all right. Well, that answers my question then.
Okay, no problem. For anyone else listening who was wondering what we were talking about just then, you can head to my blog, entrepreneurs-journey.com, and there's an interview up there right now with Adam Short. He does things with niche profit websites. Really good call if you want to have a listen to that two-parter. Okay, I think the person I called before is now back, so are you there? Hello, caller. I can't hear you if you are speaking. Nope, not there. I'm thinking you may be there, but your microphone may not be working. So I'm going to have to move on to the... Oh, there we go. Someone's coming through.
All right. Thanks for taking my call. I have two questions, actually. It's regarding the best platform that I can use for the blog. And this is for the video blog that I wanted to do. And I think Gideon... might have also better answer for this. I have a restaurant background, and I wanted to do a video blog about food, you know. And also I wanted to do some sort of mini social media site where people can upload the videos or photos. What would you suggest the best platform to use for this kind of video blog?
I'm just going to mute this line. Sorry, caller. Gideon, you can answer that one. Just getting some background noise.
Sure. Yeah, I think we still recommend WordPress as the platform that you use for your blogging.
Gideon, you're just coming through really faint. Have you changed your microphone position?
No, I haven't. It's been strange. Let's see if I can do that.
Maybe it's just me.
Now I'm actually noticing my sound is not coming through very well. I'm not sure why that is. Let me just double check something, and then I'll answer that question. There we go. Is that better?
A little bit.
Okay. Just try something else. Like this.
How about that? Is that better?
Oh, that's better.
Okay. I'm not quite sure what happened there. All right. To answer the question, definitely WordPress. We would still recommend WordPress for your blog. However, you can use a more specialized theme if you want to be displaying videos on there a lot more. Now, there was a great WordPress theme that I found for videos in particular. I just can't remember the name right now. So if you can send me an email at support@becomeablogger.com, I'll look for that particular theme for you, and you can see if that will do what you want it to do. And that's one of many different themes that you can use. Now, in terms of allowing people to upload media to your site, that's a whole different kettle of fish. I'm not quite sure what I would recommend there. I know that there are some websites around that allows you to create a YouTube-like website, and they look after all the technical details for you in the background, and essentially all you've got to do is customize your own site. I know they do exist. I haven't used them myself yet, But you can certainly use that option as well. That kind of moves away from blogging again. But if that's what you don't want to do, that's a total different strategy. I'm not sure if I can recommend anything else really, other than if you're serious about getting people to upload stuff to your website, you'd probably need some technical help with that to get someone to customize something that specifically meets your requirements.
And you would need a very robust server as well if you're going to be delivering video from an open user base. So you want to think very carefully before you start doing that.
Yes, I mean, just video is the most demanding thing for the internet, for bandwidth at the moment. So you're going to need some pretty good servers and bandwidth to be able to handle that. And so, as I said, there are some websites that allow you to do that, but I've got to go back to my notes and find which one that was. I'm not even sure if they're still around. It was about a year ago that I saw them. But really, I think if you want to do something like that, you'd need some pretty heavy technical work to help you with that.
So, Gideon, do you suggest to go first with just a regular WordPress, platform? With a simple kind of just sharing the videos and all the stuff, sharing the photos like in the Flickr's and all the stuff. And slowly, as you gain the speed and as you build the confidence and slowly transition into that kind of social media type, would you recommend that? Take that out?
Yeah, well, it all depends on what you're trying to achieve. I mean, what we teach and become a blogger and also a blog mastermind is that you essentially create a blog that's focused on a particular theme. And you submit content to your blog that users come to and visit, and they absorb that content and they keep on coming back and they tell all their friends, and you gain traffic that way. Well, that's one of the ways. I guess we're not teaching people how to create social media sites in particular. You know, we teach people how to create blogs and to use blogs to get their message out there. So you may need to, if you're interested in creating a social media site, a social networking type site, you may need to create something from scratch. I'm not quite sure what exactly you're trying to achieve.
Well, I'll tell you right away, my goal, I wanted to basically create kind of funny videos and kind of share funny videos, and if some users have funny videos, they can share too. So basically, it's back and forth. I find it funny, and then I share with my audience, and then there are some fans who wants to share or submit and just kind of share within the community, and they can do. So I mean, it's both way. I will do my part, and then once users are interested enough and they want to participate in that, and they can submit the videos or photos even. I don't care. I mean, as long as we are sharing and, just having fun doing that, that's the whole idea,
Sounds like a fun concept. Yara, did you want to add something to that?
Yeah, I do. I would host as much of the content you produce on your own blog, in the sense that if you do a video, upload it to YouTube and then put it on your blog. If you do funny photos, upload it to Flickr or something like that, and then put it on your blog. If you want to start getting participation from your audience, consider creating something. I don't know. I think Ning, Gideon, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Does Ning allow interactivity with their sort of community-based service? Because I believe that allows you to create a Facebook-type environment around a specific niche. It's called Ning. Let me figure out how to spell that again.
N-I-N-G, if I remember right.
That's what I think it would be. Yeah, Ning, ning.com. Create your own social network for anything. Now, of course, you won't own that. It's like Facebook. You don't really own your profile. They can delete you at any time. But the good thing about this is it lets everyone do all those things you're used to with Facebook. Add photos, add videos, leave comments, interact. And you can own that little mini social network on Ning. So that's definitely something you should check out.
Yeah, that's a really good option if you want to go that way. And you know, it's free. Everything's free and everything's already set up for you. And you can, I believe there is some customization you can do to make it look more like your own. Of course, something else you can just try as well is simply just to use something like YouTube or any of the free video sharing sites to submit your own videos, get the embed code onto your own blog. And if you've got other people who want to submit their videos too, have a page where you give them instructions on how to submit it to YouTube and then send you the embed code that you can then embed into your blog. It's a little bit of a complicated process then for your users, but it's another way if you want to keep it everything on your own blog with your own domain name and without having to pay an arm and a leg to get something set up.
Right. Okay. That sounds pretty good. It's a simple step process or a simple idea, you know, where you can integrate both the things, but without having to spend tons of money or, you know.
Mm. Yeah,
definitely check out Ming.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Hold on. Do you have I have one other question just interlinked to this one. Do you have time for this one?
If you can answer it quickly, yes. I've got 7 more hands up still, so I have to get going. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. The other question is regarding the platform, but this is for the a mobile platform. You know, if I'm interested to have this is again linked to the food concept. If I wanted to create some kind of mobile, pages in relation to like coupons or something like that. Where I can share coupons or something. What kind of mobile platform would you suggest? Is there any recommendations that you have in your mind?
Mobile coupons, would that be right?
Yeah.
No idea. We're not have a clue how to do coupons on a mobile platform. I'm sure it's possible if you hire the right tech person, but I'm not, that would be a project you'd have to pay for. I don't know of any third-party service that does that for you. It may exist, but I'm not aware of it.
I don't know. Okay.
I did a little bit of research on that. I know. I mean, your topic is more like kind of to the blog and all this stuff. Gideon, do you think you might have some idea on that?
I haven't actually come across mobile coupons before myself yet, so I can't really help you with that. And I think you may need to, because it's a little bit outside blogging, you may need to do a bit of your own research there and find
and
out what options are available and tell us. We'd be interested too.
Okay.
I can't help.
All right, no problem. I just thought I know like it's kind of outside the, but I just kind of wanted to throw some ideas. I mean, if you had something.
Hey, if you want to talk ideas, jump in the forum and who knows what other people might have to say about the idea as well.
Okay, cool. That's all I have for now, and thanks for all your help.
No problem. Excellent.
Thanks for your questions.
Okay, moving on.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a question for you. First of all, thank you very much for putting on these seminars. I find them really beneficial. I have a question with personal, with the company. If you have different blogs, for example, if you were talking about Adam Short, he does it and flips the blogs. Is he running that all under one company, and how does that work? And also, I've seen around on some blogs and websites waivers and legal disclosures, things like that. And I've also, I can't think of the lawyer's name, but he has a package of forms that you should have on your website. And I just wondered if you thought that was over the top, or what your opinion of that was.
I've, as always, whatever Gideon and I say here, we're not lawyers. So if you really want to be absolutely as paranoid as you can be, you've got to go see a lawyer and get them to, write up as much documentation to cover your butt as you can. But that being said, as I grew my business online, and I think Gideon can concur with this, started off as a sole trader. I wrote a terms of service and a disclaimer myself just by taking things from other people's terms of service and disclaimers. I just said things like, anything I say should not be considered legal advice. You know, when I talk about making money, that should not be considered typical results. You know, just things that is obvious. You can't hold me responsible for your results, et cetera, et cetera. And you can get all those ideas from other people's pages. Now, when my business started taking off, though, that means you've suddenly got something to protect. So as soon as you have an asset that you, your business is worth something, you're making some money, that's when you start taking some of that money. You set yourself up with a company. You get some maybe some proper terms of service and disclaimers created. Maybe you even get a contract done if you're doing a partnership. Gideon and I have a contract being made between us right now as we speak, since we're doing Become a Blogger as a partnership. And then as you get even bigger, you start looking for, you know, smart accountants, essentially, who will set up legal structures that may involve multiple companies. Now, this is way over the top of my head, and I don't really understand it, but I know these guys can save you money on tax. Every country is different, so you need to go to someone local who knows your local environment. But most people listening to this call, and I'd say the same case for you, if you're just getting started and you, there's nothing really there yet, and you know, you can run as a sole trader and be quite comfortable with it. I wouldn't be too worried about it. It's only when you start getting results, you start getting exposure, people see you, you're more likely to be, you know, open to someone attacking you, suing you, taking offense, something like that. That's when you need to start protecting yourself.
Okay, thank you very much.
No problem. Next caller.
Hello, this is David from the United States. Can you hear me?
Hi, David.
Hi, David.
Greetings. Greetings. I have a couple of questions. What I'm trying to create is really a content site, and the original way that I was envisioning this was to have it be like a dynamic content website with a blog attached to it. And now then I encountered your work, and you know, it seems like you're doing a whole host and variety of things just by a blog via WordPress, and you know, your instructions and your guides are all in the context of WordPress, and my sense is, boy, if somebody's sort of created a wheel already, I don't need to reinvent it. Is there some way you can advise me on, you know, does a dynamic content site with a blog make more sense than just a blog?
What do you mean by dynamic content site?
That's a great question. I'm still trying to figure that out. But, you know, basically what I'm trying to put out there is, you know, I'm a physician and I'm, you know, regular conventional trained, but I also do holistic medicine. And what I'm wanting to create is a very sort of level-headed but very open-minded place where people can kind of reframe their chronic illnesses and problems and get both information that is free and available and articles and that sort of thing, as well as sort of an interface for interacting and doing like telephone consultation. So there's sort of an educational mission here because I see people coming into my office over and over again who are incidentally being abused by their doctors because they're not really getting the information that they should. And then there's also a sort of experiential interactive piece that I'm trying to create an interface for. So I'm just wondering if that kind of goes beyond what a blog needs or can offer, and if it makes more sense to have it be on a website. I'm in the design stage. I'm not up and running. You know, I created kind of a rudimentary site using Joomla, and it, you know, it needs to be sort of rebuilt by an expert so it actually looks well and runs well and is optimized for search engines. Have I articulated the question yet?
I think so. You sound like you want, obviously, a blog to talk about these subjects as a broadcast medium. So you're just putting it out there and people leave comments. It sounds like you'd also like to potentially be able to take consultations, you know, maybe through Skype, through telephone, through email.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You'd like your members to be able to communicate with each other, not just with you. So something like a forum type environment might work well.
Possibly.
In that regard.
That seems like less of a critical thing right now, but I do want them to be able to communicate with me so that I can say, respond to particular questions that seem like they might be of general interest or things like that?
Well, in the interest or within hindsight, because I know how difficult it can be to build momentum and gain traction, I would start at the beginning and just have a blog and aim to produce enough quality content and get enough interaction that you build an audience first, because it's with that audience and you can start introducing these other things to that community. And it's actually the easy part. You know, adding the tool is straightforward once the community is there to make use of it. It's building the community that's a challenge, and the blog essentially will do that for you based on the back of your content. So I would recommend start a blog, start writing articles, start doing podcasts, start doing videos, everything we talk about in Become a Blogger Premium and Blog Mastermind. And then, you know, watch your audience respond. They'll start leaving you comments. You'll start getting traffic from search results to certain articles and see where it goes. And then you can start planning the rest of this. And the good thing about that is very little resistance to get started. You don't have to worry about getting the technical things right from day one. It comes afterwards. Build the audience and then build the system around them.
Right. And the audience kind of drives it, basically.
That's right.
Yeah. Will a blog allow me what do I possibly have to gain from it? I mean, it seems like your blogs are pretty complex. There's a lot of different stuff going on there. What really is there to gain from building an actual website? For instance, like the site that you have, the Mastermind Entrepreneur's Journey, is that a website or is that a blog? I don't really know.
That's a blog. And it's also a website. It's a blog type website. Yeah. I don't know if you've installed WordPress yet, but you know, most of the functions on my blog are just inbuilt with WordPress or plugins. So there's not actually a lot going on there.
So this is a WordPress blog you've got on
Correct.
Your journey.
Correct.
And it's hosted by WordPress, or you're hosting it somewhere else, or?
No, I'm hosting it on a company called Known Host. That's a hosting company, but that's irrelevant. It doesn't matter who you host it with, as long as you're using the WordPress software. What program are you in?
What program meaning? You mean my current, as in, current site?
Are you with Become a Blogger with us, or are you Blog Mastermind student?
That's a great question. I joined something like last week. I don't remember. there's a lot going on. What
okay. Either one, it doesn't matter. But sorry.
I'm a blogger premium. I think it's called.
Okay, so you become a blogger premium. Great. First 10 lessons. It should be the very first thing you were exposed to in that program, which you might be going through this week. It covers WordPress, installing WordPress, and everything you're asking now will become so much clearer to you if you go through those videos.
Those are on the free site. I saw that initially, and that's what induced me to join the premium blogger thing, because
Great.
It seemed like, wow, this is tight and clear and clean and step by step, and it's going to walk me through it. This is let me follow you guys and grab on your coattails is the idea.
That's good. If you like that, then the rest of the program you'll love it.
Uh huh. Okay, that makes sense. And so I guess something somebody told me once, though, is that when you choosing a host is so critical, especially if there's going to be more and more content and stuff on the site, because some hosts kind of own it as opposed to me owning it. Maybe this is answered in the first 10 if I read
it
them again.
It is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, just
go back to that.
Okay, just to briefly answer that, it's just a case of the difference between WordPress.com versus WordPress.org. .org is the software, and .com is the hosted version. So you want to use .org, and that's what we teach you in those first videos.
Uh-huh. Okay, right. I remember that now. Okay, thanks for refreshing that. The other question I have in relation to what someone said earlier in the first conversation, I think, was this whole notion of the Google penalty for duplicate content. Like, what's that about? Like, so I have a site. It's got some stuff. It's got some articles on it, and I'm going to create something else. Is that going to kind of get me in trouble or what?
No, let me explain how that works. The reason there is a duplicate content penalty, it's so you can't go and say, all right, I'm going to make a website. I'm going to have these 10 articles on it, and that website does okay. Well, what if I just replicate this website under 10 different URLs, 10 different domain names. So it's the exact same website, the exact same content, but if I have 10 sites, surely I'm going to get more traffic. Google doesn't want to obviously reward sites if they're all exactly the same. So it will place a penalty on those sites that replicate the content, so they don't get a lot of search results and don't get a lot of traffic. So that's what the duplicate content penalty is, and that's why it's not a good idea to replicate your content.
I see. So as long as the new site is sort of dynamic and evolving and clearly growing away from the old site, Google's not going to come with their big Google hammer and smack me in the head or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Google's a robot, so ultimately it's going, is this sentence the same as the other sentence on the other website? Is this paragraph the same as the other paragraph on the other website? And if it's finding all these duplications, warning flags will go up and it'll start penalizing that website.
I see, automatically.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Got it. Okay, fair enough. Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate your what you guys are doing, and thanks for speaking with me.
No problem.
Safe, David.
All right. Next caller.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Hello, gentlemen. Frank from New York City.
Hiya,
hey, Frank.
Brand new to the program. Been in a couple of weeks. Forgot I didn't install Skype, so I did it about an hour ago. So you're my first Skype contact. General question on blogging. I did have to post a question on the tech forums. I was going through the SEO title tag video, got to the bottom, and I couldn't save changes. That was cleared up in about a day or so. I noticed the website template free from WordPress.org that I've chosen. The exact same template was used on several sites that I visited. I was disconcerted by that.
It doesn't have to be a problem. depends on what you want. But yeah, you've got some more questions?
Just a general question on your viewpoint on the thesis theme. Am I too much of a rookie to try that? Because I am looking at – I see all the good – all the well-known sites that have been around 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years. And I look at, it's a pretty basic theme that I've chosen from the free selection on WordPress. It still looks so bland and so terrible. I'm just wondering how tough it would be to learn some basic PHP and move some things around and get it to look a little bit unique. Basically, I'm looking for your opinion on the thesis theme. I know it's a paid and all of that. That's a minor issue.
I'll give this a go, Yara, and you may know a little bit more about the thesis theme as well. But just first of all, if you found other websites, blogs with the same theme as yours, you know, you've probably picked a fairly popular theme, and so other people have done the same thing. It's not a problem. It's not like you'll get penalized for duplicate content because it's not actually content. It's just the way that your blog looks. So you're free to choose any theme that you like, and that's not going to affect the content of your blog. So there are a number of things you can do there. You can get a free theme from WordPress.org. Or you can buy a theme like the thesis theme, for example. There's a few others at woothemes.com as well. And then the third option is to design a new theme from scratch. And of course, a fourth theme is to modify an existing theme. So it really depends on exactly what you want. If you want to customize it, you know, you're better off paying someone to do it for you rather than learning how to do it, unless you've got the time and you really, really want to do it. But it can get quite complicated, and you need to know how to code. And trust me, if you've never done it before, it'll take you quite a while to get your head around it. In terms of the thesis theme, I haven't used it myself. I've seen a lot of people say very good things about it. What I do know about it is that apparently it has some very good SEO built-in features that comes with it. So that's one good thing that goes for it. Yaro, that's pretty much all I can say about the thesis. I'm not sure if you know anything else about it.
No, I mean, the thing with any discussion of themes, of, you know, thesis theme or WordPress themes, besides, you know, enjoying the experience of looking at your blog and presenting a professional image, it will not determine the success of your blogging in general. So it doesn't matter what theme you go with, the content will decide how you go. And I just like to say that as a proviso for any discussion of themes, because I personally went through a period where I wasted a ridiculous amount of time trying to make my blog theme do certain things. Big lesson for me there, stop wasting time with the theme. If you really want to change something, you know, get someone else to change it for you, or, you know, get a theme like Thesis where certain functions are already pre-installed. Now, Thesis is produced by Chris Pearson and Brian Clark, two exceptionally good bloggers, and Chris is an exceptionally good blog theme designer. So you're going to get a good product with that. I have no problem recommending that. I haven't used it myself, but I know those guys and they do great work. So, but will it, you know, be the answer to all your problems? No, it won't. Essentially, I would just get a theme you like the look of. If it's Thesis, go for it. If not, make sure it's got the core areas, sidebar, header, footer, so you can use those, play with them. Now, if you're a tech person, I don't know if you are, and you're prepared to play with CSS and HTML and PHP, and that's something that doesn't frighten you. That frightens me. I would not want to do that. But if it doesn't frighten you, then go ahead and learn that. If not, you know, do the bare minimum that we teach and become a blogger. If you want to go further, hire someone. Joel from blogtechguy.com is someone we recommend for these sorts of things. If you want to get a completely unique design done, there's the team at uniqueblogdesigns.com, and they can create something very good from scratch. They're currently working on my new design, and that's really your options. So I haven't given you a specific course of action, but there's no right or wrong way to go here.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate your time and attention to our needs, and you guys got a great program. I'm glad it was recommended by another person I'm following, and I look forward to learning a lot. And good luck with the fires over there. I know it's getting messy over there. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Frank. Frank, before you go, who was the other person who you found out about us through?
Oh, I found out about David Risley on PCMech.com about April of last year. And unfortunately, I'm not as techie as he is. So that's why I had a problem with the SEO title tag stuff when I couldn't change it. But that's been solved. And between your program and his, it's onward and upward.
All right. Okay. Yeah, David's got some great stuff on tech there. So cool. Good, Frank. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right. Just, I'm not sure if you've clicked the next button yet.
Nope.
Okay. I've just received an email from someone saying that the hand raising was off for them, and so they couldn't actually raise their hand. So I'm not sure if that's a current problem.
I don't know if it's a current problem, because I'm still seeing lots of new hands popping up. So yeah. I've still got six to go through. So we'll keep plugging along. If the end of that six is still a problem, I can reset it. But I think we may run out of time anyway. But let me keep moving through these.
Okay.
Hello, Yaro. Scott Ringo. Just want to ask a couple questions real quick. How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Good.
I set up my email subscriptions through Subscribe2, which is a WordPress plugin. And then I saw on your video where you have them set up through Feedburner. I also saw quite a few posts from, you know, current bloggers that said that they have problems with the Feedburner email subscription being sent out sometimes. Have you ever had problems with that? Is there an advantage to having it through Feedburner?
I actually don't need Feedburner. Just getting a bit of feedback there, Scott. Can you either turn your speakers down a little, or I'll have to mute you?
Okay, good.
That seems a bit better. Okay, we present Feedburner as the option because not everyone needs a dedicated email system immediately. I use Aweber, which is a dedicated email system. That has a function called RSS to blog or blog to RSS to email. And that will just create an email list from your RSS feed, which people can subscribe to, and then they get sent out a certain number of messages. You get a lot of control over that, and you build a real list that you have complete access to at any point in time. Great for email marketing purposes. I recommend if you are heading in that direction, that would be what I do, as I'd use Aweber, because then you can also build your email newsletter and so on. That's just a bit advanced for some people. And, you know, if you're just getting into blogging, we don't want to bombard you with things to do. So FeedBurner is a more simple option, since everyone should use FeedBurner to control their RSS. So, you know, using it for email to newsletter as well, or email updates is a good use of that service. So when I, you know, FeedBurner seems to have hiccups now and then, but nothing out of the ordinary to what other software services have. It doesn't give you the level of control over your email list. You know, that's a downfall of it. And listen, if you're using a plugin and you're happy with it, then there's no need to change things, really. The change I would make is, when you're ready, go to a dedicated email autoresponder system like Aweber or GetResponse or something like that.
So your feed, where it says feeds burned, you know, on your feed burner on your website,
yep.
That doesn't include your email list.
No. In fact, if you look at my blog, there is only one email option. That's to join my newsletter. Yep. If you go to the About page, you will find a form there to get just updates of blog posts sent via email. I used to have the option to get updates of blog posts via email, as well as the RSS feed, as well as my email newsletter. However, that's confusing because there's two options there for email updates. So I found that if I had that, people didn't know what the difference was between my email newsletter and my updates of blog posts sent to email. And by dropping that, I just had one email option. And for me, it was more important to get them onto the newsletter. So I only have that option available now. If you don't have a newsletter, stick that email option on your blog and have those two available, RSS or email.
And just one last question. I noticed that you don't have a tag cloud of any type
No.
on yours. Do you recommend not go that way, or?
Doesn't matter either way. I like tag clouds. I think they're good for search engine optimization. I use tags for my posts. That's definitely
right.
A good thing.
Right. I've been using tags for the posts, but then just wondered if it was advantageous. I mean, the tag cloud's great, but after you get a few tags on there, it looks pretty messy. And then, you know, if you go with the text only tag field, then that looks pretty messy also once you get several tags. So
yeah,
look for something clean too.
Reference.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's not going to make or break it either way. You know, it's not going to make you super successful. It's not going to hold you back.
Okay.
If you like it, keep it. If you don't, take it off.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Oh, well, Scott, thanks for calling.
Sure.
Moving on down. Next caller.
Oh, hello. Yara Gooden.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, this is Henry. I'm calling down from in Melbourne. I've got a quick couple of questions for you. The first one is, I've recently found Alexa.com, and I was just wondering, how much authority does it stand for in terms of ranking blogs?
I want to say zero right now, because my rankings were gone as of about 6 months ago. So,
cop that.
Yeah. It's never been very reliable. It's a funny tool, really, because when it's good, you like to show it off. When it's not good, you want to take it off. Ultimately, though, it's using a system that really doesn't demonstrate what the reality is. And there's very few external metric systems that do that. If they haven't got access to your raw log files, there's no statistics package that can really accurately assess your traffic, in my opinion. Google Analytics, because you're putting the code on all of your pages, knows the data from behind the scenes. Things like Alexa.com, Compete.com, these services are good, but the way they work is they take external elements. Alexa has a toolbar, and it takes the aggregate data from people who use that toolbar to assess the popularity of websites. So by the nature of that, it excludes everyone not using the toolbar. And I don't know about you, I don't use that toolbar. I'd say most of the people on this call don't use that toolbar either. So it's a fairly irrelevant statistic, in my opinion. But as with anything, if it has a bit of traction, you know, lots of blogs have it. I have it on my site at the moment. It will be gone in the next update. It can be a credibility badge. So if you have, like I just said at the beginning, as sad as this is, if you have a low Alexa ranking, which is a good thing, it doesn't hurt to put it on your site because it's, you know, a badge of credibility.
Okay, great. The next one is it's more a legal issue. Could I, say, register a domain name, and could it be called Australia iPod or Australia Google or Australia Coca-Cola or, say, those registered trademarks? Is there legal implications?
Yes. There are definitely instances, and this is a case-by-case basis, and usually if you get into trouble, it's because you've just been unlucky. Unfortunately, the more popular you get, the more chance of you getting unlucky because you become more exposed. Good case in point, an old podcast, I think I did it about 2 or 3 years ago, with Kevin Muyo from iPodMyBaby.com. He got in trouble because he used the term iPod in his domain name and in his product. He had T-shirts, so he had to change his domain name. And I think a few other people have had issues with using the word entrepreneur, using the word WordPress. So yes, you certainly can, if you get singled out, if you use a trademark term, don't necessarily get attached to that domain name because you may get in trouble. So, you know, instead of using the name of a product or a company, better off to use a generic term, like I would say blogging tips rather than WordPress tips as a domain name, just because blogging is not copyrighted, can't be, it's a generic term. So there is definitely an issue there.
Okay, great. Following on from another caller, I can't remember his name, but I think he was a New Yorker. He was talking about the blog design. I was just wondering, how much would I be looking at to get a unique template for WordPress?
They can be really cheap. There's actually a call I did with Darren Rouse on blog design. It's worth having a listen to that one if you want to delve into this, but you can go to Elance or Rentacoder or Guru.com and find a blog designer and, you know, give them some fairly detailed specifics and get something done for $100. You can go to a dedicated blog design company like UniqueBlogDesigns.com, and you're looking at about a minimum of about $500 for something original, all the way up to $5,000 for something quite customized. So you can see the range there. Pretty much $100 up to $5,000 is the range. And it all depends on how much you want custom, how much information you give to them, who you're hiring, and you know, how much time you have, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, if you have $500, you can get a pretty nice design done.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's all my questions.
No problem.
Excellent.
Thank you, caller. Was that Henry? Thank you. Next.
Hello, this is Evelyn from Washington, D.C.
Hello, Evelyn.
Hi. I'm a newbie also, and I have not yet started my blog, although I've gone through the 10 videos and I've looked at the report. But my question relates to, I have a website that I've had up for about 18 months or so. It needs a bit of an overhaul. And I've heard on some other classes that you can convert it to a WordPress website and then incorporate the blog into it. Does that make sense to do, or should I just go ahead and start a blog and worry about the website later?
Good question. I'll have a go at this, Yara, and I think it'd be good to get your answer on it too. I guess it depends, once again, exactly what you want to achieve with this. Do you want to end up with both the normal website as well as a blog, or do you want to end up with one thing in particular? And also, how do you want to deal with traffic? Do you want to use your blogging platform or blogging website as the main method for getting traffic and send it to your static website? There's a whole bunch of questions you need to ask for that. So maybe you've got answers for that already.
The idea was to use the blog to send traffic to the website. I've got one shopping cart, so I have the autoresponder piece, And they also, on some of these other classes, said to do a sales page, but to put it on your website and not on your blog. So I was able to use Adobe Contribute to do some minor changes and actually put up a sales page. But I'm not real familiar with doing any more programming than that. And the main page actually needs some help. So I couldn't decide whether to just leave it and go with the blog or try and incorporate it somehow.
Okay. Well, if you already have your website set up and you know, you do have your sales page on there with your autoresponder and everything set up on your actual website, it's not a bad strategy to just use your blog for generating traffic to that website. So, of course, you won't be directing traffic to your website with every single post that you create, because people will just see through that and they might get sick of it. So the important thing for your blog would be to provide value for your blog readers, and as you build your audience, from time to time you can direct them to your website to find out more or to read the sales page or whatever you have. And you know, for that matter, you can direct people to anywhere you like once you have the traffic on your blog. So that could be a very good strategy. In terms of converting your normal website to a blog, you can do that as well and host everything just on your blog. It is possible to have sales pages on a blog. It's not the ideal, though. The way we set it up is that we, you know, essentially with Yaro's blog, that's the one of our main traffic generators, and from that blog we direct people to Become a Blogger sales page, for example, when we have a promotion. And the Become a Blogger website is actually just a normal static website. There's a blog linked to that, but the actual website is just a normal static website. So once again, it depends on what exactly you want to do. I think I'm going to hand it over to Yaro if he wants to add anything to that. He probably has some
ideas on this as well. Gideon's right on the money. It's a case of what is the reason the website exists, like what's it trying to achieve. And certain websites do certain things better. A landing page is better at capturing an email opt-in, assuming there's very targeted traffic coming to it. A blog is better at building community over time, and you know, fostering a long-term readership, and you know, it is a real content site. A static website is often used for brochure-type information. So, and to be honest, I think static websites are dying out as a medium online. It's usually better to have a combination of a blog and a landing page to build that list. But it really depends on what you're trying to achieve.
Okay, that makes sense. And can I have a banner on my website, has a photo of me plus some design on. Can I use that same banner on a blog?
Well, for sure. If you like it and it's, you know, portrays what you want to portray, definitely.
And so when I set up the blog, I can somehow transfer that over?
Yeah, you may need your designer to do this, but you need to get that file into some sort of format that works on the internet. So a JPEG or a GIF or a PNG. One of those file types, but you know, a tech person can do this for you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Excellent.
All right. Next caller.
Hi, this is YN from Singapore.
Hello.
Hello. Do you hear me clearly? Hello.
Not too bad.
Okay. Hi, this is Wayan from Singapore.
Wayan, go ahead.
Yes, I have two questions. First is that I've been generating traffic and building backlinks by article submission, directory submission, and social bookmarking. My question is there a way I can track the origin of blog visitors? As like in having a paid or free plugin on my WordPress blog?
There certainly is. You can, the first one that comes to mind is a Google, just the name's just
Analytics.
Google Analytics.
Google
Analytics is totally free. That you can sign up for. If you've got a Google account already, you can simply just hook up with your existing account, and that allows you to basically get a whole bunch of brilliant statistics on your visitors. You know, which pages they visit, how long they stay there, where the visitors are coming from. There's a whole range of statistics that it provides, and it's all free. So that'll be my first recommendation to check that out. And it's especially good for blogs because you only have to enter the code once, and it'll get shown on or get used on every single page that you create for your blog automatically from that point on. So that's my first recommendation. There are other packages around as well. To be frank, I haven't used anything else other than that, really. There's your normal statistics that comes with your hosting provider, but I've often found those statistics a little bit confusing. And if you can use something like Google Analytics, it's much nicer and it gives you pretty pictures, and it's very, very useful.
Thanks. And my next question is there a way to automate the screening of downloaded videos from free video sharing sites like YouTube specifically for the purpose of copyright clearance?
I'm not sure if I fully understand your question. Are you asking whether...
I am downloading videos from video sites like YouTube.
Right.
And I do not want to get into any problem with copyright issues.
Right.
And my question is, therefore, now, is there a way to automate the screening of, for example, videos that have been searched relevant to the theme based on keyword, but without having to manually screen to see whether it is a copyrighted video or is it a creative comment, you know? Can the process of video copyright screening be automated?
That's a good question. I think what you're going to have to rely on with this, unless you want to spend a lot of your own time on it, is you'll have to rely on companies like YouTube and Blip.tv and Vo.com, all those video sharing websites, to handle that side of it for you. I mean, their responsibility is to only show content that is that they're allowed to show. So if someone does upload content that is not allowed to be on there, the onus is on YouTube, or it's on them. It won't be on you. So if you embed a video on your website that happens to be a copyright violation, I don't believe that you will be in trouble because you're not actually hosting that video. The video is hosted by YouTube in that particular case. So they will need to take action to remove their video from their site. I'm not sure if I can give any more advice on that other than that. I mean, of course, there could be a risk involved in using the embed code from YouTube, for example, and it's a copyrighted video that you didn't know about and YouTube didn't know about either. There could be a risk with that. But you'll need to discuss that with your lawyer and seek some legal advice on that, because, you know, Yara and I, we're not lawyers, so we can't really give specific advice on that.
And my understanding is if you post a YouTube video that's copyrighted, you won't get in trouble. YouTube's video will get taken down and then it just won't load on your site anymore. So that's the worst thing that can happen.
Yeah. That's my understanding too, but, you know, I'm not sure how it works for different countries, whether, you know, say there's someone in Singapore that uploads a video to YouTube, and you're also in Singapore and you show that video on your website, whether they can come after you. I don't know.
This
is something you'll need to clear with your own country rules and regulations. But, I mean, my gut feel is that the issue will have to be taken up with YouTube, because they are the ones that are providing the video, and you're simply linking to it. You're simply you've just embedded the code on your own website, so you don't actually host the video.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're quite safe with that one. You have to get someone who's really vicious to go after you, but use your common sense. You know, you're going to know what's copyrighted and what's not copyrighted based on, you know, is it taken from a TV, a movie, a video clip? Is it, or is it just someone, you know, jumped in front of a camera and recorded themselves? There's a big difference there.
I see. Yes. Thank you, gentlemen, for your help. That's all.
Okay.
Thanks, Wayne.
All right. Almost at the two-hour mark. It's a big call. I've got two more callers. You're live, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, it's Ray, Small Fry 2K. How you guys doing?
Good, thank you, Ray.
Good, thanks, Ray.
Good, I got a quick question. I'm putting together a blog. I met this group where it's a bunch of models that are over 40, and they're having a over 40 fashion show next weekend. I would like to make the event, use Ustream to make the event live, but also to have it where the YouTube is on my site. And I tried to find the information on how to go about doing that because I've seen several people do it, and I just need a resource on how to go about finding the information to do that.
Okay, it should be pretty straightforward. When you're on the Ustream website and you're logged in, there should be a place somewhere where you can find the embed code for your video player. And all you have to do is copy and paste that embed code onto your blog or your site, and it'll be as simple as that. So it'll be very similar to what you'd have, what you normally do for a YouTube video. It'll be a very, very similar process, but you may need to be
excellent.
You'll definitely need to be logged into your account for that.
Okay, that was basically what I needed. As you guys know, I don't have to tell you how great you are because you already know. I appreciate it. Everybody loves you. You do an outstanding job. You over-deliver. And I appreciate it. Good listening, and I don't know how you don't stress out, but keep up the good work.
It's all good.
I know you probably do stress out. But anyway, thanks. And I'll talk to you guys. You can let somebody else take in. And thanks for everything.
Okay,
thanks,
Ray.
Take care.
Never get tired of positive feedback, so don't hold back. And last but not least.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good thing.
I didn't think I was actually going to get on. I was having problems with, raising my hand, too. And I just restarted my Skype, and off it went. But just as a quick side note, I just upgraded to the latest version of Skype. And I don't know if anybody else tonight was having any issues, but there was a lot of interference and you guys faded out a lot. And a couple of times the call was even dropped. So I don't know if that has anything to do with this new version or if you guys had, any kind of problem tonight. So if anybody would post in the forums on that, because I'd really like to know, because I could, go back to the old version. In any case, I have just a couple of quick questions. Gideon, this one I think is more for you. I did an audio for my about page. So, as opposed to having a regular written about page, I did an about audio.
Okay.
And on my end, on my computer, it sounds beautiful. It's crystal clear. It's good. It's great. But when I upload it, it sounds horrible. Okay.
Okay.
I've tried a couple of different things. I tried using different FTP clients. No matter what, and I spoke to Joel about it, and I even emailed him my clip, and even he said that, even on his computer, it sounds fine. So any suggestions at what I could look for in that? Because I want to do a lot of that kind of stuff, but obviously nobody's going to want to listen to a bunch of crackly, horrible sounding audios.
Right. Okay. First question is, which program did you use for recording your audio?
I used Audacity.
Audacity. Okay. And then you used that to edit and edit and export your audio as well, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
And which format did you export it to?
MP3.
MP3. Okay, and next question then is how are you actually streaming it on your blog?
What do you mean? Like what am I using to stream it with?
Yeah, when people go to your blog or to your about page, how do they access the audio?
There's just a play button right there on that page. It's the which plugin is it? The I think it's called the Audio Player. It's one that Joel actually recommended to me.
Okay, good. All right, so I think I know the one you're talking about. All right, so then the only other thing that I can think of that could be an issue, actually there could be two issues here. The first one, it may be the plugin, If you go to the website, it's the One Pixel Out website.
Yeah, that's it.
They have some specific requirements for your audio. When you export your audio using Audacity, it needs to meet certain criteria. You need to export it with the right kind of bitrate and a whole bunch of different settings. If you get it wrong, then it could change the outcome of your audio. So that's one thing you can look at.
Okay.
The only other thing I can think of that could be causing the problem is the place where you're hosting it from. Where do you host it from at the moment?
This particular site is on, well, it's actually my own, but it's HostGator.
Okay, so it's just on normal HostGator. That shouldn't cause too much of a problem. I think the first thing is to just check that you're exporting your file to exactly the right format as they recommend on that audio player for okay. WordPress plugin site. And if that still doesn't work, then you can try hosting your audio from another source. Like if you're going to do a lot of audio, then it may be good to use something like Amazon's S3 service. Put all your big files on there and stream it straight from there. That's what we do for all our larger files, for our video and audio files.
Right.
And it works really well. Okay. I mean, just what does it sound like when people play
it? It's hard to even explain. It sounds like, have you ever heard of an audio tape that's messed up and it sounds like kind of speeds up just for a split second?
Like a chipmunk.
Yeah, but it's real quick. It's like it doesn't happen all the time, but every maybe 10 or 15 seconds it'll happen, and it's also just very distorted. It's just really distorted.
Right. Yeah, it sounds if you go to the audio player plugin for WordPress, there's a section called the chipmunk effect, and that'll tell you there that you need to have it as the sample rate of your audio needs to be a multiple of 11.025 kilohertz. So if it's not that, then you'll get that funny effect. So I'm guessing that would be a problem. Okay. So when you do your export, just make sure that it's a multiple of 11.025 kilohertz.
All right. Okay. I'm also going to try the Adobe Sound Booth because that's supposed to be pretty good software. Okay. But I'm going to give that a try. Okay. The other thing I want to, because there's so many places that advertise, backlinks for, whatever X amount of dollars, they'll get you a million backlinks and all that. Are any of those legitimate? Because I know most of it is just bull. I mean, that's straight up, I know. But are any of those legitimate that you know of?
In my experience, it's Bob, isn't it? Bob, I think... if it sounds too good to be true for these kind of things, then it probably is. I've tried a few things like this before in the past, and I didn't get many good results. In fact, I got one of my websites delisted from Google as a result.
Okay.
So I wasn't too happy with that. I think what we preach at Become a Blogger and Blog Mastermind is content, good quality content on a regular, consistent basis, and that attracts the traffic over the long term. And there's nothing that's going to beat that in the long term. All these other kind of shortcuts, they seem easy at first, but you never know what happens behind the scenes. We don't know what the algorithms exactly are that Google uses to crawl all the websites and for the search optimization. Right. So that's very difficult, But one thing that you can control is your content and how professional that is, how good it is, how regular it is.
Yeah.
Something you can focus on.
Okay. And another thing, using Twitter, right? When you sent out a tweet and you include your URL. Now, I'm not talking about, shortening it and using the tiny URL that they use, but if you send a tweet with your URL, theoretically, that should create a backlink, right?
I'm not sure how that's handled. I'm not sure how Google handles Twitter. There was an article I was just going to read yesterday that talks about that. I haven't had time yet. I'm not sure if Yaro has an answer on that by any chance.
No, I'm unsure. I don't know if Twitter uses the nofollow tag on their links. I think they do. I'm pretty sure they do. So even if you use the real URL and not the shortened version, it will not count as a link back because Google won't follow that link.
Okay, what about, you know, like Dig and Mix and Stumble? Do they all do that? Is that like a standard practice by them?
I don't think so. I think you'll find a lot of the services will just let the link exist normally because their efforts to, you know, stop spammers using their system will mean that they only get quality links. So, you know, the links are there because they should be there. Right. You know, you'd have to go with a case-by-case basis, though. I don't know what Dig does. I don't know what Reddit does. I don't know. Most of these sites, the easiest way to get a link is the section where they will stops, you know, have no follow applied unless they don't see that as abuse. Bearing in mind, Google also will assess, you know, the number of outgoing links from a site, how the site works. So they'll be able to apply some kind of ranking algorithm to know the value of a link coming from that site. So once again, as Gideon said earlier, if it's easy to do it, the value is less.
Right. Okay. Now, I wonder, too, because, you know, I have set up, you know, as I'm sure you've probably done it too, you know, set up a bunch of different media, social, website identities and stuff. And, you know, everything from Plurk to, you know, Identica, and you can name it, it's pretty much out there. But the thing is that I could almost send out a tweet or, you know, whatever that particular website calls their message, you know, writing on the wall or whatever it might be. And invariably, it ends up with Twitter. Okay, it's like I have everything, you know. I can send out tweets from different locations, and they'll be posted everywhere.
Right.
You know, and I'm just wondering if I should, rather than use Twitter, use, you know, those avenues, because, you know, maybe they won't have no file. All right, that's actually that's not really a question. That's more of a rhetorical question.
No, well, let me put my opinion on that one. I have come to the conclusion a long time ago that I will never be able to keep up, nor is it worth my time, keeping up with every single social media tool out there. And absolutely, as I've seen happen, it's pretty clear Facebook is far and away the leader as a marketing tool and as a communication tool. In fact, it's probably hard to use as a marketing tool directly, but certainly indirectly, it's fantastic. So, you know, 80-20 rule here. Why not spend the time you would go creating all these other profiles, just making your Facebook profile really, you know, fly along? You'll get a higher leverage return that way. You have to do less work. So I'm spending my time Facebook, Twitter, and my blog, and that is literally it. I don't stumble, I don't dig, I don't do any of those other things. That's the decision I've made with social media. Other people will go crazy with StumbleUpon for a while. Caroline Middlebrook did great work there, and she was able to drive a lot of traffic because she spent most of her energy for a while at StumbleUpon. So the issue is not trying to do all of them, unless, of course, you're outsourcing to other people to handle it for you, which, in my opinion, on social media is never going to be besides the very basic routine tasks, is never going to be an option because it's a very personal tool. Right. You know, if you have someone in Facebook trying to talk to your friends for you as if they're you, then, you know, it's just kind of fall apart. So,
all right. I that's pretty good advice, actually. And I think I'm going to, because, you know, I realized a couple of weeks ago when I was, you know, signing up for all these different, you know, you can't just sign up and do nothing. You actually have to do stuff in order to, you know, try to create a following and all this kind of good stuff. And I just realized that that's impossible, because you could spend 5 days a week working on all this social media stuff and not get anything done for your blog because you're burnt out from doing all that crap. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Yep.
And real quick, just you had a caller a little while ago. I don't know if he's still listening. About he was talking about creating a social website for people to upload videos and stuff like that. And if I may, I just want to say that Joomla has an extension that's specifically designed for that. Okay, and can I give out my email address? Is that cool?
Sure.
Okay, if you're still listening, you could email me at bobwaltman, at pctechmojo.com, and I'll give you all the information on it. All right, so listen, guys, thanks a lot. Have a great, I don't know whether you're in Australia, day, I guess, right?
Lunchtime.
Lunchtime. All right, go have a great lunch.
Lunchtime.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bob.
Nice chatting to you, Bob.
Bye bye.
Wow.
Okay, that's everyone. Thank you all for the call. Gideon, any last minute thoughts before we wrap it up? That was a big one. I think it's our biggest one yet. We've passed 2 hours now. So,
only thing I have to say is I'm hungry. So
yeah, me too.
That was a great call, and I'm glad we covered some really, really good questions. So thank you for everyone who's stayed on this long to listen to everything. It's been really good.
Yeah, well, more than half the people are still here, so that's good to see. If you do have any questions after this, please post to the forum. You guys should all know where it is now. It's privatemembersforum.com or any version of that. You'll be able to find it. And don't share that URL with anyone besides the members, of course. It's only for you guys. And leave your questions there. There were some questions left in the forum specifically for teleconference calls. Obviously, we don't have time to get to those. I will get to them in the next call if we have time. So apologize to those people. And that's it. So thanks all for joining. I'm going to unmute the line. And if you're still here, you're welcome to say goodbye or thank you. And we'll catch everyone on the next call.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Yep, thanks very much.
Good night. Thank you very much.
Good night,
everyone. Have a good lunch, guys.
Bon appetit.
Thanks.
The moderator has disconnected. The call will now end.